Villains, I say to you now, knock off all that evil!
Catapults the propaganda.
The truth is out there.
Some alien race to come down and threaten us.
The military industrial complex.
A highly funded yet unofficial government agency.
If this were a dictatorship, it'd be a heck of a lot easier.
Welcome to PID Radio. I'm Derek Gilbert.
And I'm Sharon Gilbert, everybody. We have made it through the ice storm, and we are going to be on tonight. Aren't you glad? I am.
I'm glad I got back home. Yeah, I spent the night at the hotel next door to the radio station last night just because it didn't look like trying to make it home was a wise move.
No.
Even though my show producer, the young imbecile, drove all the way back to Washington, Missouri in the middle of this storm.
I know. He was a crazy guy.
He made it, thankfully.
I'm glad you're home. We heard he made it fine. And we are so happy, just thanking the Lord that this worked out, because we have an amazing guest today that I know you know. You all know his name.
Yeah. He's the CEO of a multi-state investigative agency, the founder and director of the Northeast Intelligence Network, and the host of the Homeland Security Weekly podcast, which we highly recommend, Doug Hagman. Doug, welcome to PID Radio.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's my honor and privilege to be here. It feels like just a great time knowing PID Radio. I'm honored to be a guest, and it's a great... It gives me a great opportunity just to kind of kick back and talk with you folks and share some really good information that ordinarily we really don't get to share in any other venue. So I'm excited about being here.
You know, before we actually started rolling on this interview recording, we were asking you what you wanted to talk about, and you used a phrase that I love, Doug Hagman Unplugged.
now, some people might take that in a different way, but you know, a lot of the national the syndicated radio programs that I do, and the national programs, and even some of the regional programs are pretty well structured. And as you know, because you folks do radio programs, and you don't have the latitude or the opportunity to really sit down and to discuss really what's in your heart. You hear it on the news, various things on the news about terrorist events, and I really think people today know in their heart of hearts, if they're paying attention to what's going on, that everything that is happening, it has a deeper reason, a deeper meaning behind it, and I'm going to, I guess, go a little bit biblical here and say, at least from my point of view as a Christian and as a, I suppose if I had to align myself with politically, I'll say a conservative, not a Republican or a Democrat, but just as a conservative. But as a conservative Christian, I see events that are unfolding that I feel, are setting the stage, I guess, for much bigger things to happen. And I think a lot of people are seeing this, but a lot of people are not really seeing it. A lot of people are missing it. And I think that it's important. We can talk about bombings and the Iraqi war and what's going on with regard to the execution of Saddam Hussein, for example. We talk about those events all day long. But what's important, I think, to understand and to take a look at is how this plays out, or how this will play out in the overall history that we are living and we have lived in, of course, our future. So, especially from a biblical point of view, which I guess is my source of reference for the events that we're going through. I don't know if that makes sense or not. But
that makes total sense, and I'm sure that a lot of our listeners are sitting there nodding and going, "Yes, yes, this is this. I want to hear this." you say you're a Christian and that you want to take a look at end times prophecies. When did you start studying this?
Well, you know, it's a lot of people don't know this, and I don't talk a lot about my background, but I went to a seminary for 4 years, a
really?
Catholic seminary. Yeah,
huh.
I did. And decided that was not my path, of course, but received just a tremendous education and a lot of insight from the seminary. So, you know, it really at that time, and that's my goodness, so long ago. You know, we're talking 30 years ago now, but or well, close to it, I guess. But you know, I had this feeling at that time that, and especially even. And this might sound strange, but even back in the late 70s, as the November takeover of the U.S. Embassy, as I watched that, I had this suspicion and this feeling, this intuitiveness that I was watching history, not just political history unfolding, but, shall I say, spiritual, you know, something very important with respect to the spiritual realm unfolding. And I think that that history to this point has proven that to be accurate, because that seems to be really one of the opening rounds or opening salvos of the current state of affairs that we are in.
The struggle, as we see it, based on the research that we've done and people who know a lot more about ancient texts and how to properly divide the word, is that what we're seeing is a literal struggle between spiritual entities being played out on the global chessboard. Literally, Ephesians 6:12, principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places, those being physical or at least spiritual entities that interact in this plane, that what we're seeing, events like the takeover of the embassy, the bombings and the kidnappings and the beheadings, are just the shadows, really, of what's really taking place in the spiritual realm. Do you see it that way?
Boy, that's well said. That's kind of like how Wishapa said that. you know, exactly. That's very well, very succinctly stated in terms of the way I feel. And to convey that, you know, it's almost as if when a person talks about this, or like if I would talk about this on WXYZ radio, we'll say in New York City or Los Angeles or whatever, you know, it almost appears that I can almost in the back of my mind hear people clicking off their radio, because it's at least some people anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I almost feel like there's this marginalization that occurs when you talk about this, because some people say, look, you know, man, it's not like that. Or they feel that you're a Bible thumper, and I don't mean that in any derogatory sense. It's just a classification I've heard used, and or that you know, perhaps that it's you're off your rocker or off your meds, you know, whatever. But
right.
But you know what? I think I did this. I'll tell you what. I did this a special this documentary, and I remember doing this vividly, like it was yesterday, in the beginning of 2000. I think I say vividly now. I'm scratching for the date. It was the first part of 2004 or 2005. I'm not sure which now, but it was the first day back after the January holiday, and we had a crew from the CBC come into my office and spent 8-9 hours in my office. It got to the point where the temperature in my office, because of those Klieg lights, was well over 100 degrees by the time they were done. But for a 15-minute slot on their news program that aired on Sunday nights, kind of like a 60 minutes would be, that's for Canada, okay? That's the kind of program it was. And I had said a couple of things where I felt that this was a war between good versus evil. And I've always said, by the way, this is not my phrase, but I love this phrase. You know, we are not fighting a war against terrorism, because terrorism is a tactic.
Right.
Not you know. And again, I don't know who to attribute that phrase to, but I love that phrase. But I also said that this is a war against good versus evil, or evil versus good, and this is indeed a religious war. Well, that phrase became the focal point of that interview, and I heard from I felt like I was under attack from everybody from Vancouver to Nova Scotia, because I received emails from everybody that I think is in Canada, I don't know, is saying that I was absolutely out of my mind. And, of course, the CBC had received so many emails about this program, that segment of the program that we did, and my statements about Christianity and about Europe being under attack and the attack against the Jews, that it became a very controversial subject. And what happened was, although they, it was interesting because they thought, wow, this was, you know, controversial and certainly got people riled up, they reran it again. And I knew, without telling me, and I started getting those emails all over again, and I knew something happened because of the nature of the emails. But people, the majority of the people that sent me the emails said, you're absolutely crazy. This is not a religious-based war. And for you to say that is shows how ignorant that, you know, shows your ignorance. And, you know, it's interesting because I just point right back to the phrases used by the enemies, the Islamic Orthodox people that are beheading people and saying that, you know, they're doing it following God's law, Quranic law, you know, and saying flat out that this is indeed a war being waged by Islam to right the wrongs of centuries of oppression and so on. So so I feel vindicated by the statements of our enemy, but nonetheless, the reason I mention that is simply to show that I think a lot of people aren't getting it right now. Even today, there are a lot of people that are walking around. What is that statement as in the days of Noah?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's kind of like the way I feel right now. I think people really, we really need to turn our hearts, not just our minds and our intellects, but our hearts to the current events of today,
mm-hmm.
and put things in perspective.
You know, there's a couple of verses in the book of Revelation, Revelation 16, 13, and 14, that describes the very events that we're talking about, the fact that unseen spiritual entities can influence politics. It says, and I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet, for they are the spirits of devils working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. That is just one sample mm-hmm. of what's going on now. The kings of the earth, the leaders of these nations, yeah, they're making decisions that are based on political expediency, but at the same time, much of their advice comes from a spiritual realm, whether they know it or not.
Interesting statement. Indeed. Now, I think I suppose to kind of dovetail with or this would dovetail with that. I think a lot of people, as you said that now, I think a lot of people are missing the fact that the same spirit that drove Hitler, the same spirit that drove Stalin back in the last century, is the same spirit that is driving to the terrorist and terrorism today. You know, you're not going to be hearing too many people talking about it, and it's the spirit of hatred that always, in this case or in all the cases, it begins kind of the same way. It begins by the anti-Semitism, and then moves on to hating Christians. And I think that we're seeing that progress today. And I think that there's a tie in there I was going for, but it's eluding me. But yes, I indeed.
Well, there's a political tie in, and Derek's done a whole lot more research on this than I have.
I had the opportunity to interview the director of a movie called Obsession,
yes.
Radical Islam's. Yeah, I talked with the director, Wayne Copping, and
okay.
he wow. did an excellent job in that movie of showing the very clear links between the Nazis of the 1930s and 40s and the radical Islamists of today. It's amazing to me that most people in the West aren't aware that the official salute used by Fatah, Hamas, and Hezbollah is the Nazi salute. It's not a coincidence, because they got it from the SS officers who trained the Muslim Brotherhood in the 30s and 40s to serve as SS troops and officers in the Middle East. They are not just a political descendant, but a spiritual descendant of the Nazi Party of the 30s. It's the same. You're right. Absolutely right, Doug. Is the same spirit. There is no corresponding gesture in Islamic culture or in the Arab world. In fact, you take it a step further. We learned from that movie, as we pointed out here, that the name of the country Iran was changed in the 1930s from Persia to Iran, and the word Iran means land of the Aryans, as in the Aryan race, the master race. It's the same spirit that drove Hitler and the Nazis in the 20s and 30s and 40s. And people need to wake up and say, you know, and realize it's not just a political movement. It is a spiritual movement that is being driven by forces that are unseen to the human eye.
Exactly. And we cannot afford to continue to ignore this correlation. You know, it's the bin Ladens of the world, the terrorists, they control. And people don't understand that even though people will say that there are a small segment of the Islamic population, the terrorists apparently, and this was, by the way, this was quoted by a Yale professor in the Wall Street Journal. I don't have the date or the exact citation, but he said terrorists evidently control large segments of Arab opinion the way the Nazis once controlled Germany, by swagger and lies and by dispensing a dangerous hallucinogenic ideology for the masses and murdering opponents. Now, you know, it seems like we as a country avoid making any type of correlation to that, to the Nazi movement and to what's going on today. So, I mean, even in the political ideology, as you had mentioned, and the basis for the current organizational structure and even some of their motions and what have you, they're definitely lie in that same very same spirit. So it's wow, yes.
And the sad thing is, and this is what's really insidious about that spirit, is that the United States is not immune to it. We, as you know, imported many of the former SS officers and Nazi scientists into the United States and elsewhere around the world under Operation Paperclip. And even today, some of the big power brokers within the Republican Party, the party that many conservative Christians believe is the preferred choice to defend us against the Islamic threat, guys like Grover Norquist, yes, and his good buddy Karl Rove, have some very disturbing links to the Muslim Brotherhood and to people who, with known ties to the financing apparatus of Al-Qaeda.
Exactly, you know, and I was tasked with the I had the opportunity to conduct an investigation into in this one case anyway. I'll just tell you flat out, it involves the Oklahoma City bombing and the congressional inquiry to that. Not that this is the focus of that, but that brought me to look at some of the money trails of people in Congress, and I was just mortified by what I found in terms of who is, you know, the money that is being spent by Arab countries not friendly to the United States necessarily. They're putting money into the coffers of both Democratic and Republican Party, candidates and congressional people as well. Mm-hmm. And it's to me. And as you said about bringing Operation Paperclip, you know, that kind of mirrors the situation of the right after the first Gulf War, of how we allowed thousands of Iraqi Republican Guard to come into this country at taxpayer expense.
Oh.
You know what I mean? It's right after during the Bush administration, and this carried through into the Clinton administration. And people might be surprised to hear this. There were upwards of at least 3,000 documented cases where we allowed Iraqi Republican Guard members and high-ranking Ba'athist Party loyalists into this country. Not only did we allow them into this country, but we paid for their resettlement expenses. We did. I mean, the taxpayers did.
That was right after the first Gulf War?
Exactly, yes. And it's very well documented. Now, if you take a look at that, what happened after that, as almost, and I'm going to say as a result of that, throughout the United States, there were these same people began settlements, and you can actually trace the major suspect. And I'll go back to Oklahoma City because that is widely accepted by most people as having been done simply by Terry Nichols and Timothy McVeigh. And there are conspiracy theories behind that with respect to the Aryan Nation, the Brotherhood, the Oklahoma City people. But if you take a look, and if you put that aside for a moment, because there is that's been debunked by a judge with the ruling who looked at the facts, there is a connection between the influx of the Iraqis after the first Gulf War to that to McVeigh and Nichols and that bombing. And in June of 2005, Congressman Rohrabacher had a jailhouse interview with Terry Nichols, who said that, in fact, he did observe Timothy McVeigh in the company with Arabs. Didn't go so far as to say that they were Iraqis, but the people he referenced were from the same influx of Arabs from the first Gulf War. So very disturbing turn of events there.
It really is, and I don't know if you want to go in this direction or not, but I know recently some information came to light that Timothy McVeigh may have still been a part of the military at the time that he was having some of those meetings.
You know, I looked at that video, and I studied that. Here's my take on this, and believe me, folks, I could be proven wrong any time. I'm not saying that this is gospel, but based on all of the evidence I have seen, and I'm not privy to all the evidence, of course, but just from what I've been able to be provided with, I am not convinced that video is authentic. If you look at, first of all, there are problems that I found with dates and undated material, and some of the witnesses. Now, again, it could very well be that I'm just not seeing everything,
mm-hmm.
but I'm just not convinced that is enough. I'd like to see that somebody step up and say, okay, here is where I got it. Here is, you know, here are the dates. And I mean, fully verify the information behind it, authenticate it. Even if necessary, provide an affidavit, that type of thing. I haven't seen that yet, so perhaps it is true. And if it is, okay. But, you know, I just don't know. I just haven't seen enough to convince me as an investigator for 21 years. I just haven't, I don't have enough to go by with regard to that.
Well, I certainly respect that, and I totally agree with that. What I find really interesting about revelations, and I put that in quotes, like that, is recently there has evidence that's come to the forefront that there has been in place geopolitically a plan all along to split Iraq into at least three regions. So if you think of that geopolitical goal as we want to fracture a country. Now, take a step and look at spiritual goals. Could it be that there is a spiritual goal to fracture the believing remnant, the true church of Jesus Christ, within the United States, if not the world? And one way to do that is through stories like Timothy McVeigh, to get us to disagree on political issues. And therefore, we start taking sides.
That's an interesting concept, and that would be a very effective method, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Another issue is, of course, whether or not we support President Bush. I don't agree with President Bush. I voted for him twice. I don't agree with many things he does. But ultimately, I am commanded to pray for him.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know, same here. You know, I voted for him twice as well. I believed initially in his approach to this war in response to what had happened on September 11th. But I also see, as you had mentioned, about the nearly intentional fracturing or possibly intentional fracturing of Iraq, I'm also seeing things happening within that administration, even before the departure of Rumsfeld. But there seems to be an internal struggle going on there. Now, I don't know. I'm not privy to what's going on, obviously, at that level of the administration. I talk to people who are, and this is something you might find interesting, not to get off too far off the track, but I had a conversation, and this was now a few months, several months old at this point, I talked to this person. He's a very good source of mine. He will never, ever identify himself publicly. He is a member of the military. We had the opportunity to sit in on a meeting at the cabinet level. When I say at the cabinet level, there were people there of the cabinet, and he had said that was the very first time. And he's done this before. I'm sorry, he has sat in on these different meetings before, but that I should say that was the very first time that he ever heard the revelations or the battle that we're fighting spoken, referenced by biblical terms, okay, like the apocalypse or apocalyptic type talk. You know, it was. He told me it was almost surreal in terms of its. He'd never heard talk like that coming from this level of a meeting, where there was almost a recognition that there was a spiritual battle taking place. Now that might sound awful funny to somebody, and certainly that probably. I don't know if I was sitting in on a cabinet meeting or at a meeting of that level and hearing. Hearing that the current events talked about in biblical terms, I'm not sure how I would take that, but at least it appeared that there was a recognition of sorts at that meeting. Now this meeting obviously took place at this time about a year ago, and if you place that in terms of what was going on back then, you know, maybe it might have some meaning. But nonetheless, there seemed to be an acknowledgement. Now, hopefully, that acknowledgement and that talk was on the side of. On the right, correct side, I should say. You know, we didn't get into details. Of course, he could not get into details, but the fact, just a dramatic fact that, my goodness, it's being recognized at that level. It is a biblical thing.
That is the key question, is how it's being addressed within the administration. One of the strains within American Christianity that has really alarmed Sharon and I, and I know other observers like Tom Horn, is dominionism, the belief that we need to go out and serve as God's sword to prepare the earth for the return of Jesus Christ. It's almost a mirror image of the sort of apocalyptic vision and talk that we see and hear from Ahmadinejad in Iran. And it is alarming, because nowhere in Scripture are we as Christians called to behave in this way. We were never called upon by Jesus to go out and recruit believers at the point of a sword. In fact, just the opposite. The disciples were sent out and told to preach, and if they came to a town where the message wouldn't be heard, they were to simply leave town and on their way out, shake the dust from that town off their sandals as a reproach. Mm-hmm. Let God deal with it at the judgment. But there seems to be a growing body of American Christians and some very prominent, politically active preachers, Pat Robertson to name a name, who believe that we need to actively use the political apparatus of this world, this world's political apparatus, to achieve God's ends. And how do you see this political situation in that regard?
Wow. Well, of course, I'm with you. I certainly would not... I mean, nowhere in the Bible, and having studied it to the extent that I have, and by the way, I am no expert on the Bible, and terrible at quoting Scripture, but having read the Bible and reading the Bible every day, there's nothing I've ever seen that tells me to go out to convert anyone, indeed, at the point of a sword. Now, I feel that we're called on to defend, you know, the to, well, as a defensive posture at the very least, and of course, to in our ministry as Christians, you know, to minister to others or to talk to others about the Word of God, but mm-hmm. to do so not in the manner that it is being done or being thought of, you know, by the Islamic terrorists, including the president of Iran. So, you know, so at that point, I would have to separate myself with the words of Pat Robertson. I don't know if that's what the intent in terms of what he was, did he really mean that? I mean,
well, in terms of, as an example, when he suggested that we should send out a hit team to whack Hugo Chavez.
Oh, okay.
When he suggested that the school board in that little town in Pennsylvania was going to be cursed by God because they voted to, you know, to mm-hmm. remove intelligent design from its curriculum, things of that nature, rather than using the methods of spiritual warfare that we were taught, which is, you know, prayer
right.
and fasting.
Right.
Now, to set that said, I will say that we do agree that we are not pacifists by any stretch. We do believe in a strong military around, you know, to protect mm-hmm. America and Americans and freedom around the world. But as we look at the political activism of a number of prominent preachers, we're just a little disturbed because nowhere did Jesus call upon the disciples to go forth and form political action committees.
Go forth and spread democracy. I think that's one of the
right,
problems.
Right.
With the biggest problem for me within the Dominionist movement is that there's a notion that somehow we can build the kingdom of God. That's ridiculous.
Exactly. I agree with that statement. That I agree with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now, but are we not talking about perhaps, and this is kind of, I guess this is where I'm looking in the current state of geopolitical affairs, is our stance and our position and our protection of Israel. I mean, now I don't know if you feel that that's a stretch from what we're talking about right now.
No, not at all. I believe we're called upon to
okay.
protect Israel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and it's often said, I've heard it often said that the battle lines of the last battle are often drawn directly through Jerusalem. And I see right now, and I've read a book that I mentioned before the interview, The American Prophecies by Michael Evans. I mention that book only because it does contain a lot of information, a lot of historical information that's of value that corresponds with certain scriptures and biblical entries and what have you. But you know, I think that America is tasked with protecting Israel, or at least Christians are tasked with the people on the side of right, I guess, the people that are fighting for the cause of good as opposed to evil, should stand behind Israel and, be its protector. And
mm-hmm.
I think in a lot of cases, especially of late, you know, you've got the Iranian president, whose name I always slaughter on air. I could say perfectly, by the way, when I'm talking off air.
I heard somebody say the easy way to remember is just think, I'm in a jihad.
and I've heard a lot of different variations of that, too. But you know, I think we have to look at this. You know, you've got the current state of affairs. And by the way, I'll preface this by saying this. I don't think, and I know that, and we studied this, you know, a generation ago when I was in the seminary. Every generation feels like this is the last, or that things are shaping up for the end times type scenario. And
mm-hmm.
you've got that pre-millennium hysteria. You've got, you know, things that influence the rational thinking that otherwise rational people wouldn't be talking about. But as I look at what I see, as I look at the, and believe me, we see such hideous, I can't even describe, well, I'm certified by the Laboratory of Forensic Science and Blood Spatter Analysis. That was probably one of the most difficult forensic courses I've ever taken, difficult for a lot of reasons, but as the name would suggest, we reviewed a lot of gory, bloody murder scenes. You know, not the least of which was the O.J. Simpson, you know, Nicole Simpson murder scene there. And, you know, I guess what I'm getting at is we see so much things I can't even describe what is going on in the Middle East in terms of even in countries like Saudi Arabia that are said to be westernized to a degree. The evil I can't even begin to describe. And some of these, even having seen so much, I cannot bear to watch something a second time. You know, I mean, nor would I ever dare to put it up on our website because it would just, it is so hideous. And I see this happening and, you know, it's pure evil driven. And, you know what? I lost my train of thought, but I don't know where I was going with that, actually.
Well, actually, you lead to a good point. A couple of years ago, I wrote a short story for a collection that we were working on of Halloween stories from a Christian perspective, and I decided to write a vampire story. And I did a simple word search using some Bible software for the word blood, and I was stunned to see how many times blood is referenced in the Bible, and it's almost always in relation to how the Jews, the Hebrews, were not to shed blood because the blood is the life. God considers human blood precious, special, unique. I don't want to use the word magical, but there's something, you know, that holy perhaps is a word, sacred.
But I do think that the other side considers it magical.
And the other side considers it magical. That's exactly my point, and that's exactly where I was going with it. And Doug, I thank you for leading to that. The shedding of human blood has some unique power attached to it, which is why God forbade it and why so many of the religions that follow the fallen B'nai Elohim, sons of God, fallen angels, if you will, does shed blood.
Right. And just to clarify, when you say the shedding of human blood to Israel, you're not talking about, nor was God talking about, warfare. When he commanded them to go out and, you know, wage a war, blood was shed. We're talking about human sacrifice.
Human sacrifice, right. And that's why it was only done with animals until the time of Jesus Christ, who became that that substitutionary sacrifice and put an end to it. But that is why I think we see in these crimes of pure evil, Doug, that kind of shedding of blood. There is a spiritual, supernatural component.
We, you know, and I know hideous things, untold things happened during the Second World War, and in all wars, of course, leading up to today. But, and I know that back prior to the current, prior to today, we did not have the 24/7 news coverage, and we didn't have the internet to go to see what's going on. I, you know, as I look at this battle in its entirety, I see Israel as a focal point. I see the matter that the battle in which we are engaged is, in my personal opinion, what my heart is telling me as I look through and analyze the different pieces of information that come through. I see it just a tremendous war between what is good and what is evil, a declared war between radical Islam, the Islamists, the Orthodox, the pristine version of Islam, as people like to, or as they like to call it, versus Christians and Jews. And I'll go back to something that we were talking about earlier, the comparison between Nazi Germany and today's battle. You know, Hitler's Mein Kampf is the best-selling book throughout the Muslim world today, which is something that, as a matter of fact, it's even used as a textbook in Muslim schools in the Middle East in certain schools.
Now, well, of course, it just means my struggle.
Well, of course, just as jihad means, you know,
struggle.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, I think if we are to believe that, then, I guess I'm not convinced. I'm not convinced that that the word jihad, as it is described by Muslim population is indeed accurate. I think that there is a lot, again, this is my personal opinion, I think that there's a lot of deception involved with this, and I think that we, as the American people, too, are being deceived to a large degree by our administration, by others, by everywhere we look, there's deception. Mm-hmm. And this is all part of the larger war we're seeing. And I know, I don't mean to appear disjointed in terms of my thought process. If I do, I apologize.
But you know, you don't.
Okay.
You really don't. No, not at all. And I think what you're doing is the same thing Derek is doing and I'm doing and our listeners are doing. We are trying to sift through all of the information that we get, and we're bombarded with it, trying to measure that up against the plumb line of Scripture. And
right.
It's a tough job.
It indeed it is. And it's one that I know certainly I have to exercise caution in, because it's easy to even as an investigator, you know, when I'd work a case, it's easy to go down one line of thinking and adhere to that thinking when in fact it's not correct, it's corrupt at the beginning. So mm-hmm. it's you know, we have to do it responsibly as responsible Christians. Of course, that's, again, that's just my own personal take on it. But yeah, I just, you know, honestly, when I look at this battle that we're in, I don't think I've ever, in my study of history, I don't believe I've ever seen a time in which events have taken shape where there is indeed perhaps the most fertile time or the best time the end stage is being set, in my personal opinion.
You know,
that's a statement.
One of the things that we're told about the last days is that there will be a strong delusion. And I was wondering, when you look at the United States in particular, what aspects of what we're getting out of the mainstream media do you think is deluding to Christians and non-Christians?
Well, excuse me. America right now, we are ignoring the virus, and I call it a virus. That's the growing plague of the Middle East, the anti-Semitism. And this is the very same anti-Semitism, as I mentioned before, we saw that was coupled with Hitler's teachings, and I think that's number one. There's a lot of Jew-hating regimes out there that are Arab. There are a lot of anti-Christian, if you're anti-Jewish, the Arab anti-Jewish regimes are also anti-Christian. You've got the prevailing thought right now that September 11th would have happened if America wasn't involved in Middle Eastern politics, which ignores a lot of facts. You've got another train of thought that the war on terrorism is fueled by our support of Israel, which, again, to some extent, in fact, that could be true, but it's taken to extremes. There are some deceptions involved in all of these. I think in the largest sense, I guess the best summation I could say is, the best summation I could make is, the more that America abandons Israel or treats Israel as a red-headed stepchild in terms of the geopolitical affairs, I think, and I say this very carefully, the more cursed we are, and, mm-hmm. and I don't mean cursed. You know, it's not a like a Halloween thing. It's the more dangerous grounds we're stepping in. I think we have to look towards Scripture, in my opinion, and it's how we treat Israel and what our policies are toward Israel. And I think there's historical precedent to prove that. It goes back to the well before the creation of Israel, but certainly many times after the 1948 creation of Israel.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, it goes all the way back to Genesis 12, when God says, "I will bless them that bless thee," this is to Abraham,
mm-hmm.
"and
yes.
curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." And yet, here as we get to the end times, we're told that Israel is a cup of trembling to the nations. This very nation that is supposed to bless us is a cup of trembling. And it's this spiritual battle with Israel as the prize.
Exactly. And again, this is my personal opinion. In taking, weighing all of the different data points that we look at and putting it with a Christian perspective, the future, our future, and even the final battle, I think the battle lines have been drawn. If you look at the UN resolutions, the terrorist demands and their intents, the acquiescence by this country along the Israeli boundaries of the 1967 boundaries, declaring the Golan Heights, the Gaza Strip, the West Bank, and so on, East Jerusalem and the Temple Mount, declaring them as occupied territories, the number of occasions between 1991 and 2001 where we have actually turned our back, so to speak, or put Israel in a bad position. I think a lot of this, I think more to the point, more these instances are probably I would say maybe the flashpoints for the events that we're seeing today, and allowing, well, kind of again, setting the stage for the final, I don't know, setting the stage and battle lines for what comes next. I think it parallels very closely with Scripture, mm-hmm. and that's what is so disconcerting, especially today.
Yeah, and even more so is when we look at the evidence of what's going on around us, Doug, and some of the research that you've done really highlights this. And research done by guys like John Loftus, who yeah. documented the participation of the CIA and MI6 in the creation and protection of the Muslim Brotherhood following World War II and its SS roots, covering up its SS roots after World War II, to the present day, in which we see things like the PTEC investigation mm-hmm. In Boston, in which financing of al-Qaeda's operations by a company based in Boston was halted by a Justice Department official named Michael Chertoff, who's now the Director of Homeland Security, and the existence of the training camps for what appeared to be Muslim militia around the country that you have documented through your investigations, Doug. So I think while the big picture is disturbing, even more unsettling and should be unsettling for Christians in America today is the realization that the enemy has agents working from the inside here in the United States to undermine our support for Israel.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. And for not only to undermine our support for Israel, but to work, and I believe to work as active agents, you know, once things begin to happen, mm-hmm. You know, to work as active agents here against the infrastructure of our country.
Yes.
I am so disturbed by so many things I am seeing within this administration, within this and previous administrations, mm-hmm. but in particular, even now, if we're serious on fighting and winning and prevailing against this, I just don't know. I just, at our current pace and our current level of engagement, I'm not sure, and I don't say this often publicly, but I'm not sure that we have a winning battle plan here. As you had indicated, you know, with Mr. Chertoff, it's awful interesting how many roadblocks are thrown up. You know, when we provide information to the different agencies that we do, It is readily accepted by the agents in the field who have families and who are God-fearing men and women. But, you know, somewhere along the line, at times, depending what that information is, it becomes convoluted or not acted upon, or something happens. And I can see, when I talk to the agents, when I talk to the people, our sources, I can sense and I hear the frustration. And I hear them asking, why? What's going on? Why isn't there an investigation into this issue? You know, and of course the issue is mentioned. And there's a great deal of concern about that. And it's, you know, and people might argue, well, that's always been that way. It's red tape. It's bureaucracy. But not to the extent that, and I'm talking to career agents that have been with the Bureau, for instance, or been with other agencies for a long time, not to the extent that we're seeing today. And that, of course, goes right along with what you said, and that is very disturbing when you put it in the pot with a bigger picture. And it's frightening, to say the least.
You know, there was a story that came out last year that I think demonstrates this really well, and that was the cell phone incident up in Michigan. I still am just blown away by that whole thing that these men from Texas were just released.
Well, I had written to the prosecutor. As a matter of fact, I contacted the prosecutor's office in that case, and we had some dialogue, and they accepted my the information we had found. As a matter of fact, found by a contributor to our site. This person is just an unbelievable asset, known as Archangel. And I suppose that's an appropriate name for this individual. Very, very effective in terms of data finds. The things that he has found, I don't think anybody, well, I know for a fact our government, he's hours, days, and sometimes weeks ahead of our government. But with regard to that, the cell phone issue, indeed, as those events were unfolding, the information that was being supplied to Arab or Islamic terrorists, I should say, not just Arab, but Islamic terrorists in this country, involved the use of these cell phones as detonation devices and for nefarious purposes, not for resale, not for the stated purposes by the Department of Justice at the time, but for purposes of, well, you, for one instance, using them as triggers for improvised explosive devices. There was just an article that came out in the India newspaper that verified this here about 3 weeks ago. And in addition to that, don't forget the London bombings, the detonation devices were indeed cell phones, which, you know, so for our government, our Department of Justice to say, hey, there's nothing to see here, this is, and to have the charges dropped and have these people walk, to me, that's a travesty. And I think that if indeed that is the case, and I know it to be, then we have significant problems at various levels in our government. And I say that with a heavy heart because I love our government. I love this country, I should say, and we just need to be able to fight effectively on all levels. And if we're prevented from doing so, I don't see a great outcome to this battle that we're in.
And again, it just points out the depths and the scope of the spiritual war in which we're engaged. And the ultimate end, of course, will be the final conflict, which, as you say, is drawn right through the battle lines, which are drawn right through Jerusalem. We recommend Doug's website as a key source of information for what's happening. You often get information there that is just not being reported at all by the major media or contains details ignored by the major media. HomelandSecurityUS.com. You'll also find a link there to the Homeland Security Weekly podcast. Doug, just for a moment or two, if you could talk about your new project here, the America's News Source newspaper or online newspaper.
Yeah, sure. That's America's News Source is a joint venture between Canada Free Press, Judy McLeod, who is the founder and editor of Canada Free Press, and the Northeast Intelligence Network. Essentially, we had gotten together one day and said, you know, the news that is coming out of all of the news stations and even a lot of the internet sites, Now, obviously, yours excluded. A lot of people aren't paying attention, and or a lot of people are not. It almost seems like the news is being massaged, and indeed it is. So we opted just to create America's News Source, and as an alternative for those people wanting to get news of all types, not just about terrorism, but of all types, get the real news from a conservative, a true conservative point of view, and with that, the Christian type of the news as well, at least in our side of things. So it's something that we're trying to. And so far, I have to say it's a resounding success. We have a lot of people taking a look at it, and it's something that we're very proud of, and we hope that it'll continue.
Yeah, it's something that we take a look at on a daily basis, americasnewssource.com. And we also point out that Doug is writing a column now for watchermagazine.com. We're very proud and pleased and honored to have his contributions to watchermagazine.com.
I'm so honored to do that. I want to thank you folks for allowing me to do that. It's such a pleasure.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Believe me. I wish we could just talk for another 2 or 3 hours right now, but sadly we are running short on time for this hour.
Yeah. Do check out the Northeast Intelligence Network's website, homelandsecurityus.com. Doug Hagman, thank you for being our guest on PID Radio.
Well, it's been my honor. Thank you.
And we thank you for being with us for this hour. Coming up, we've got interviews that we know you will appreciate. Joe Jordan, who is a UFO investigator, does deliverance ministry for people who've been oppressed by what they think are alien entities.
Mm-hmm. That'll be next Sunday on PID Radio. You don't want to miss that. And, of course, during the week, you get to hear our blather. But until next time, Doug, don't hang up, by the way. But until next time.
I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
PID Radio.
They're coming from the darkness. Over 6,000 years ago, the citizens of Mesopotamia encountered them.
Down through time, tens of thousands of people on every continent of the world have etched their likeness on the walls of caves, chiseled statues of them from solid stone, and prayed prayers to their highest gods to be delivered from them.
But prophecy says they will return. And at a time when Babylon, modern Iraq, and Iran is invaded and destroyed. This spring, exclusively from RaidersNewsUpdate.com, we'll tell you what you need to know about them. In the book-length ebook, Stargates, Ancient Rituals, and Those Invited Through the Portal.
Catherine Adamson thought she was going back to her quiet hometown of Eden, Indiana, to settle the affairs of her late Aunt Celeste. Instead, she discovers that Eden has literally gone to hell. Two high school students have disappeared, leaving behind only a running car and a bloody shoe. Strange lights have appeared over the town, and the fields of a local farm are marked with blackened circles. Eden County Hospital reports record births, incredibly large babies joining the ranks of a growing number of giants. Many of Eden's leading citizens have been hiding evil secrets, but their behavior has been closely watched by the mysterious Dr. Apollo Bell, head of the Mount Hermon Institute. All of Eden is a war camp, and citizens must choose sides in an eternal battle. Catherine is reunited with her old flame, Joshua Carpenter, the publisher of the Eden Chronicle. They quickly learn their strongest ally may be John Thundercloud, a legless old Winnebago Indian who spends his days writing line after line in a library full of tattered diaries. It's Winds of Evil by Sharon K. Gilbert, book one of the Laodicea Chronicles. Available now online and at bookstores everywhere.